It is not unusual for the Lord giving me the things and allow me to experience the things that I'm about to teach in advance. By doing so, I get to teach from my heart with the faith in Him rather than teach from my head with the Bible knowledge. See, the last week, it almost like the Lord allowed the demons, a demonic host, to have their heydays with me. Those who are on the church prayer chain list knows what happened. As I mentioned to you all, last Sunday, I gave a notice to the school that we are going to move out from this location as the last day and of the last Sunday of the September. From October, first Sunday of October, we are going to move into the Dance Center and have a service there. On last Tuesday, I was told by the town officials that we cannot have a service there. Number one reason, we don't have enough parking space in that place. Number two, we cannot have a storage unit in the parking lot. And number three, the maximum occupant limit is 120 people. So if we get to have more than 120 people, including all the children, the infants and everyone, then fire marshal can come and shut down. Or, since we have to have storage rooms and we cannot put the storage unit there, that would be a trouble. And I think we have more than 32 cars in our congregation. So, all of a sudden I realized, okay, we cannot move. So I said, so much for the idea of moving. So I went back to school and said, okay, we're going to stay. And they said, no, you cannot do that because we already gave a notice. We gave a notice to other churches that are on our list. And then I just realized we don't have a place to go other than the meeting in the middle of the desert. You guys are all up for that, right? All right, you guys look so good. I didn't expect the town government to get involved and tell us what we should do, what we should not do, when it was just transaction between building owner and the church. So I was kind of bummed out, and I was whining, moping, and griping, and then complaining all this at the same time. I'm very talented for that kind of thing. And I was asking God, please don't punish our congregation, you guys, because of my ignorance. I just did not know that it required all that. But then again, I realized that this shenanigans didn't catch God off guard, like it did to me. And He knew this before the creation of the universe. Probably He was kind of looking down and said, here we go again. He's goofing up another thing here. Let me ask you this. Let me say this before I ask you. So I was facing a giant. Let me say it one more time. I was facing a giant. All of a sudden, I'm looking at this humongous guy that I could not overcome. Now, let me ask you this. Are you facing a giant? Maybe it could be something that you cannot think anything other than that looking at the giant. And also, feel like there's that giant choking you, choking daylight out of you. But you still have one place to turn to. That is the throne of grace of our God. A godly king Hezekiah and his people Judah was facing their giant. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, his invading army coming after them, not just once, for a second time. And what did he do? He thought wisely. He turned to the Lord, and who was more than willing to protect him and keep his promise and take care of him. That's where we're going to study. So this morning's title, I titled as Facing Your Giant. You might want to put the facing giant parenthesis, whatever the difficulty you go through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are mighty God. You are powerful God. And there is nothing you cannot do. We are most grateful that you love us and care for us and protect us. Let us cast all our cares upon you and rest in your mighty and comforting arms, and knowing that you will not allow your children to go back for bread, nor you will allow us to wander in the wilderness without you. You will provide what we need. Heavenly Father, we also lift up the President of the United States, President Obama. We're asking you to make yourself known to him, that he may come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, that he may do what is right in your sight, not what he wants. We also pray for our troops and the law enforcement personnel, the sheriff deputies and police officers and the border patrol agent or DEA agent, whoever around here, and also lifting up the firefighters, especially our elder Merrill Simon and his crew. As they work so hard to protect us and provide the safety for us, we are asking you to watch over them, protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1 of chapter 18 in 2 Kings, please. Chapter 18, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, as Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Verse 4, he removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and would you underline the rest of verse 4, please? Broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days that the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor the who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord and did not depart from following him, but kept his commandment, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza, its territory, and from water tower to a fortified city. The name Hezekiah means that the Lord strengthens. The Lord strengthens. He needed God's strength wherever, whatever he need to do. He wasn't perfect by any long shot. But he did seek the Lord. He tried to please the Lord. He was one of the few kings in Judah, kingdom of Judah, who actually tore down the high places. As I told you before, what is the high places? It's the idol worship central. And he demolished the idol worship in that land. He restored the temple worship in Jerusalem, and he invited Israeli people from the northern kingdom as well as southern kingdom people come to Jerusalem, come to the temple to worship God in the way God designated them. The sequence, we should note this, the sequence of the event in Hezekiah's life as recorded in scripture, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Isaiah, they are not let me repeat one more time. They are not in the chronological order. As I told you before, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, are not concerned about the writing things in the chronological order the way we think. While the Hezekiah's Reformation was mentioned in one verse, in verse 4 of 2 Kings chapter 18, the writer of 2 Chronicles dedicated the 3 chapters, this important part of his life in that book. I ask you on the line, the second half of verse 4. What is the bronze serpent? According to Numbers chapter 21, verse 9, bronze serpent had been used to heal the Israelites who were beaten by the fiery serpent that was sent by God himself, because as a punishment for these people who were ever non-stop complaining. They constantly complain about God, to God, and to Moses. And it's a common thing for them to say, let's stone Moses. That's not, stone is not doing that kind of stone. It's an actual stoning, okay? I have to clear that thing nowadays, and people think, oh, stone, what kind of... By the way, go back. So, constantly they're going after what God wants, and they complain to God. So what God did, he sent that fiery serpent and the snakes, and they beat them, and they were dying left and right. And God told Moses, okay, make a pole with a bronze pole and the shape of the snake going wrapping around. And anyone looked at that snake pole in faith, they will be healed. Later, Jesus told his followers that is a symbol of himself. When the people look at him on the cross as a symbol, as the savior of the world, they will receive salvation. Am I making sense to you? Okay. That is mentioned in John chapter 3:14. So let's go to John chapter 3, verse 14, please. If you have a red letter Bible, of course this is in red letter, Jesus speaking. John chapter 3, verse 14, please. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, if you think about the snake around the pole, what does that remind you? Of course, I'm sure you've seen it. Medical symbols. Now, many centuries later, there we go. That was... idea of being healed by simply looking at it. Can you believe that this Israeli people, after that incident, it was God who healed them, but they chose to carry this bronze pole, Nehushtan, they dragged this thing all over the wilderness. When they got into the promised land, guess what? They did. On the high place, they stick it in the ground and they burn the incense on it. And they made it into the relic and make it into idol. And they worshipped it. Even a godly thing can turn into idol in our lives if we choose to do so. Working for God can turn into an idol. Ministry can turn into idol. You with me? It is important for us to have a heart for God before we work for God. Without Him, and then let me say this, can we do work of God without God? Can we work for God without God? Yes, we can. It's no longer God's project, but it becomes man's project. Keep your finger there and then go to the Psalm 127, please. Psalm 127, verse 1. Some of you already have this memorized in your heart. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. Who build it, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stay awake in vain. Without God, our work for God is nothing. So if you are to have a revival in the Lord's work, we must begin with cleansing. We must begin with cleansing. Over the years, individuals and the churches can gradually accumulate a great deal of religious garbage. And while ignoring the essential of the spiritual worship, it's not by doing something unique and new to experience new things from the Lord, by returning to the basic, essential things and doing them well. If we confess our sins and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice daily to the Lord will see it and hear it, and He will bless us. Simple thing. You know, I learned this thing from some people. Good basketball team, they don't do anything fancy movement. They dribble well, so they don't lose ball. They shoot well, so they don't bounce off the backboard like I do, or the bounce off the rings. They simply do the basic things well. And they work together with the team. When we worship God, we are not asking you to do something, anything special. Take care of your sins and become living sacrifice daily. Not once in a blue moon. Daily. That's what God asks us to do. Confess our sins and follow Him daily. Move down to verse 17, please. Then the king of Assyria sent Tatan, Lepsaris, and Lepshakar from the Lachish with a great army against Jerusalem to the king Hezekiah. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they had come up, they went and stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool, which was on the highway to the fuller's field. When they had called the king Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to them. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? You speak of having plan and a powerful war, but they are mere words. In whom do you trust? You rebel against me. Now look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if the man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altar Hezekiah had taken away, and say to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Let me say this way. In our logic, the Lord should have blessed Hezekiah for his devotion and for his cleansing of the country. The Lord should allow Hezekiah to be blessed. But to our amazement, the Lord allowed the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, to invade him not just once, twice. And Hezekiah was faithful to the Lord, but seems as though the Lord was not faithful to him. This is one of the standing puzzles in the Bible, is it not? Godly people should have a good life, healthy life, but in a lot of times, they are the one who is going through a tough time financially, they are the one who is sick, or most likely have a terminal disease. In the meanwhile, ungodly are prospering, and they have a healthy life. And we wonder, if you're like me, sometimes we wonder, where is God's justice in this? I'm not the only one. the psalmist, one of the psalmists said in his writing, Psalm 73, please. Psalm 73, verse 3. Do you guys feel that way too? I'm glad I'm not the only heathen then. Verse 3, chapter 73. You know, I could recommend God so many people, all the ungodly people whom he should strike to death instead of godly people. But obviously God is not interested in my suggestion. He kind of shut down his suggestion box. I don't think he has a suggestion box anyway. For I was envious of a boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no pangs in their death. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore the pride served as their necklace. Violence covered them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than a heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walk through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and the waters of the full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are ungodly who are always at ease, and they increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said I would speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your people, your children. Verse 16, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Can you feel his pain? Verse 17, underline, highlight, and remember this, please. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in the slippery places. You cast them down to the destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with the terror as a dream. When one awake, O Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Folks, we only see what's in front of us. Not 5 minutes later, not 5 hours later, not 5 days later. Unless we can see the solution of the problem right in front of our eyes, we panic. Don't we not? We are much better of the worrying about something that may never happen than trusting Almighty God who keeps His promise every time. Some Christians are professional warriors. Are they not? I mean, they worry for everything. If there's nothing to worry, guess what? They worry because there's nothing to worry. Worry is, hear me, worry is another side of doubt against God's faithfulness. Worry is another side of doubt against God's faithfulness. And it is a sin. Because we are not trusting His faithfulness. We have a tendency to listen to the boasting and taunting voice of the devil rather than the promise of God from the Bible. That is exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants our heart to be filled with the doubt of what if. Remember what I told you? When the what if comes in, what do? But God. Remind yourself, but God. And we need to remember the promise of God. He says, but God. By the way, rapture car is not a person's name. It's rather a title. It means field commander of the Assyrian army. To them, Judah was nothing more than another victim under their marching boots. Rapture car thought he, since the Hezekiah removed all these high places, the God of Israel is gone. That just showed his ignorance. Now, jump to the chapter 19, please. Since you guys have been reading these chapters in advance, so I'm just skipping here and there. Verse 14, please. And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, and you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, and you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the word of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their God into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of man's hand, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. But now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of earth may know that you are God, you are the Lord God, you alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Notice how the king Hezekiah did here. Rather than looking for help from other kingdoms, he came to God. He came to God and spread the letter of the Assyrian king in front of God and pretty much tattled on him about the king of Assyria. Then he reminded himself, this is the very important thing. God already knows who he is. God already knows what he will do. But Hezekiah does not know. So Hezekiah reminded himself who God is, what he can do, what a mighty God he is. In other words, he compared his nail-biting situation in light of who God is. The God who created the entire universe. That's the way to having right perspective. That's the way to facing giant. When we have right perspective, it's not an issue. To compare to God, the God's eternal promise and power and his faithfulness, the invasion of the Assyrian king's army is nothing. To compare with God's promise and power, our building situation is nothing. To compare with God's eternal blessing and salvation and grace, all the havoc, all the chaos that caused by the Congress and the United Senate is nothing. To compare with what God can do, what President Obama is doing is nothing. As long as we put everything under right perspective, we get to have a peace in our heart. Nobody is more powerful and faithful than our God. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's say it again together. If God is for us, who can be against us? Putting everything in godly perspective is very important for our spiritual sanity. There are so many distractions and traps in front of us to snare our spirit. But when we let the Holy Spirit remind us that He is faithful God to keep his promises and powerful God to protect us, and all of a sudden the giant we are facing becomes dwarf. It's no longer giant. Are you facing giant? Would that be financial difficulty like many people going through in this country? Are you facing giant known as marriage problem? Are you facing giant that is known as a strong addiction? It can be alcohol. It can be pornography. It can be gambling. Or you name that. You fill the blank. Are you facing that giant and you're trying to fight against the giant with your own strength? You cannot. But turn to God. Have a right perspective. Put that giant against God. All of a sudden, you see that giant is no longer a giant, but a small thing. We can overcome. Is it easy? No. Just because you pray to the Lord, that doesn't mean that all the problem will go away at once. Wouldn't that be cool? We just pray, boom, gone. But the Lord will be with you as you go through the difficult valley of the shadow of death. We memorize this verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Let's go there again. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourself under the mighty hands of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. When we read what Prophet Isaiah said in verse 20 in chapter 18, we too would like to have a kind of encouragement in person, don't we not? Somebody come to us assuring us, well, this is what God told me to tell you. But we should not forget that we have something better than godly prophet, the Word of God, the voice of God, the promise of God. The Bible is in our possession, and the Bible contained all the encouragement and promises we need, and it is ready to give them to us anytime we seek. That is why I emphasize so much in the memorizing the Bible verses that we may have in our heart, and when we need them, Holy Spirit will bring it to remembrance, to comfort us, to encourage us, to give us strength. Now, go down to verse 35 of chapter 19, please. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 when the people arose early in the morning and there were the corpse all dead. I guess corpse is dead, all right? That's redundant, but... So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away. They returned home and remained in the Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshipping the temple of Nisroch, that's the brother of Cockroach, his god, and that his son and him and struck down to with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. And the whatever that guy's name is, his son reigned in his place. The Lord sent one angel to kill 185,000 Syrian army overnight, making Rambo look like a sissy boy, right? God can take care of His people and His promise. Against all odds, against all every expectation, except expectation of faith, Assyrian army were turned back without having one shot of arrow into the Jerusalem. Unstoppable was stopped. Undefeated was defeated. With God, all things possible. Let's make two applications. Number one, when outlook is bleak, try uplook. When outlook is bleak, try uplook. Second application, please remember this. focus on the giant, you stumble. But focus on God, your giant tumble. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time together and reminding us nothing is impossible with you. And your promise, you will protect us, you will provide us what we need according to your riches and glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.